Welcome to Jeremiah Smith Ministries, a place where you can grow in God's Word. Well, we are live. Praise the Lord. How you doing today? Are you doing good? Well, hey, I'm Jeremiah Smith, and I'm so pumped to be with you today. I believe some wonderful things are going to be happening today. Do you believe that? I believe it. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so glad you joined us, and I hope that you're ready for a wonderful, wonderful week. Could this be one of the best weeks you ever had? Could God do some amazing things this week? Well, you know, it has to do with what we're looking for, what we expect with our spirits, and do we expect blessings this week? Are we expecting bad things this week? You know, what do you expect this week? You know, and it's important that we're focusing on the things of good report, of hope, of joy. You know, God wants to do some wonderful things in you, but you know, you've got to trust him for it, believe him for it. He's just looking to and fro for some people with some faith and some people that are wanting to see him do some marvelous things in these last days. Do you believe that? I believe it. I believe this could be a wonderful week for you if you're just watching for him to do some wonderful things in your life. You see, well, Jeremiah, I've already done some things, and I've done some things I'm not proud of, and I've done some things to mess up, and I'm on the sidelines right now. Well, you know, God will help you, you know, and he'll help you get back up and help you to fulfill that destiny he has for your life. You know, I don't think any of us have ever messed up too bad that God can't work with us. And God will help you right there where you're at if you'll let him help you and let the Holy Spirit work with you and help you to fulfill that destiny that he has for your life, you know. I don't think you could mess up too bad for God to fix you. You know, he's a good God, and he knows how to fix people, and he loves people tremendously. And aren't you glad that he has an unconditional love, you know? People seem to love us with with conditions. You know, they say, well, you know, you do this and you don't qualify no more. You do that and you don't qualify no more. But, you know, God's got an unconditional love. He looks at you through the eyes of his son, and he looks at you as a person that can fulfill a destiny, a person that he loves, and someone that he wants to confide in every day. Praise the Lord. You know, that's what he wanted for Adam there in the Garden of Eden. You know, he was in the garden with Adam and Eve there walking, you know, and he's like, where are you? Well, he was walking around there with them. And, you know, he wants to walk around with you and work with you in your life and be a precious father to you in your life too. Praise the Lord. So let him do that. Let him be a blessing to your life this week. I believe he'll be a blessing to you if you'll let him do that. Well, you know, we try to be here every Wednesday and Sunday. If I'm not here, of course, I'll post a message there for you to listen to on JeremiahSmithMinistries.podbeam.com. But of course, you know, we try to be here live as often as we can. Sundays, I'm here almost every time. And we try to be here about 4 p.m. on Sundays at Central Time. And we try to be at 6 p.m. Central Time for a little bit late. You know, just be patient with us. We try to be here at those times. But we try to be here live for you. Right now, we're live on Podbeam. If you're out there on Podbeam, praise the Lord. How you doing there? I'm so glad that you joined us. Of course, we try to be live there. And, of course, we put the YouTube videos up for you. You can check those out. We've got hundreds of YouTube videos out there you can watch on YouTube. And right now we're recording that, and it will be posted about 9 p.m. Central Time here in America if you'd like to watch the videos and if the videos bless you. Of course, you can listen to the rebroadcast on Spotify, Google Music, iTunes, Listen Notes, Podbean, TuneIn off Alexia, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Deezer. You can listen to us on Pandora, of course, Amazon Music, Verbal, iVox, Audio Junkie, Podchaser, Player FM, Samsung. And there could be a whole lot more out there. Every time I look out, there seems to be more because we seem to bleed over into a lot of different stations and things. And I think it's just probably because I believe God gives us favor, number one, but I believe it's because the popularity that we've got on different places. Praise the Lord. So that's wonderful. That's a good thing. Amen. Reaching out to more people to be a blessing to them. And if you're from somewhere there that you're listening to us, we're glad you joined us. And I hope that you're having a good time listening to us. And I hope that you enjoy the precious Holy Spirit ministering through me. And I hope that you have a good time. We'll let the Holy Spirit be your teacher and your doctor. Let him be what you need. Praise the Lord. I can't do anything without him. And I don't know about you, but I depend on him. Amen. I depend on him every day, you know, to help me. And so you need to depend on him. You know, I just got back from Tulsa. We came back from Tulsa, and we were down there doing a meeting with my wife there that she had. And we were down there, and we came back. We drove back from Tulsa, Oklahoma, back down here to Edmond, Oklahoma. There were tornadoes everywhere. So keep us in your prayers. Praise the Lord, you know, and we got back safely, you know, and And, you know, God, he's protecting us and he takes care of us. You know, maybe today you've been almost hit by something in your life and, you know, God will protect you and bring you through if you'll let him bring you through. He's not surprised by the circumstances of life and challenges, you know, but let him protect you and let him bring you through. He'll be faithful to you if you let him do that. Praise the Lord. The grace of God will help you and I'll be a blessing. We were down there. We were joined. We saw Rhema down there and went by old Roberts down there. You know, some mighty men of faith, you know, seeing the things that God's done for them, you know, and he wants to do big things in your life. We're talking about opportunities. We'll be talking about that again here. But he wants to do some big things in your life and have generational effects if you let him do that and be a blessing in your life. Let him use you to minister to many people, you know. You say, well, I only reach one person in my area. Maybe I have a small town, only got 10 people in my congregation. Well, he's using you. Those 10 people, no telling what will happen with those people if you're faithful with what you're doing. He can minister through to those 10 people and they can affect a huge amount of people. You never know what one person will do, you know, that you're ministering to and being a blessing to. They may have families and they're going to have kids and it affects their kids and their families. So it's so important to be where God would like you to be. You know, what business have you done that affects generations? You know, what are you about today? You know, it's amazing how there's so many different things that we can affect people and the opportunities we get. We don't see them as opportunities if we're not careful. You know, and we have to make sure that we're looking at them as opportunities and not be discouraged about where we're at in life. A lot of people love to be doing a lot of things that we do, and that's going to be further along. We're trying to get into that message here soon. If you'd like to give, you can give if you'd like. You can give at jeremiahsmithministries.podbeam.com. Hit the giving tab. You can go there and give if you'd like. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over." You know, and you can't outgive God. Wherever you give, make sure you're giving somewhere. Even if you're not giving here, make sure you're giving somewhere so he can sustain and take care of your life. You know, everything that he uses to sustain you and take care of you, he uses his favor. He brings in finances, but you got to sow somewhere. And it's so important that you're sowing somewhere so that he can do those things in your life. Praise the Lord. So let him do that. Let him be a blessing in your life today. Praise the Lord. And he'll be a blessing to you if you'll let him do that. So you can give there if you'd like to. We're going to get into our message right now. Grab your Bible, get your tablet, get your phone. Amen. And get your stuff. Get ready. We're going to have a good time today. Praise the Lord. Let me get my water here. And we're going to have some time together. Well, we're getting into these messages because we've been talking about Jerry Seville. He passed away just recently, not long ago. They had his funeral Friday. And, you know, he's had major impacts on different people's lives, had a huge impact, God, through him in my life. And so we're just kind of celebrating our heritage and the people that impacted us. And he's one particular that has had a great big impact on my life. But, you know, he's had a big impact on lots of people's lives, probably even listening to me today. And so we're going to honor him by we're talking about opportunities, which I teach on once a year. But it was inspired by a series that he taught on opportunities. I believe it's called Seizing God-Given Opportunities. I do it my own way. I minister it a little bit different than what he ministers it. But, you know, it's a very important message because it's talking about opportunities that God gives us all the time. And we don't take it, that we need to take advantage of those opportunities. And so we just kind of let the Lord lead us and talk about opportunities. And we're going to be doing that today. We're going to be getting into it. And so, you know, you should honor people that have ministered to you. You know, who has ministered to you? Have you honored them? Do you give to them and support their ministries? Do you think about them, you know, in a respectful way, you know, honoring those people? Brother Hagin's had a big impact on my life, you know, because I went to Rhema and, you know, and other people too. Coy Barker, the minister Coy Barker, which I actually email and I go back and forth with him. I have his personal phone number, you know, and I like Brother Coy Barker. He's a great minister, man of God, loves the Lord, and he'll take the time wherever he's at just to send me back a message or take, you know, be a blessing to me. But, you know, you should honor those people and take time and respect them, you know. And I took time and told him how he affected my life, you know. And they need to hear that. People need to know about, you know, how they've affected your life. It's amazing to me how we forget to send a letter to somebody. We forget to tell them how they've, you know, because if you heard about that from somebody, it has a huge impact on you, doesn't it? you know, but don't be surprised, you know, how important it how it affects those ministers to hear how they're having an effect on your life. You know, they need to hear it. It encourages them and helps them to go further. So keep them in your mind, you know, just send them a letter sometime, you know, text them, email them, you know, and let them know. That's encouraging to them. You got saved. You didn't even mention it to them. You should let them know, you know, you got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Didn't even mention it. You got fed and kept you from doing some things to, you know, to hinder your walk. And, you know, send them that text. It encourages their faith. It's important that you encourage other people's faith and be a blessing to them and show them, let them know how it's been a blessing to your life and your family's life, right? Well, we're going to get into this message. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you, Father, for your mercy today. We thank you for your precious Holy Spirit today, Father. We ask that you minister to those listening, help no one to leave without getting something today. Encourage them and be a blessing to them, Father. And Father, help them not to leave without getting something today by your precious Holy Spirit, Father. Flood us with light. Help us to see some things we hadn't seen before today. And Father, we just thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, well, let's get into this today. We're going to be talking about, and Father, before we go, I forgot to do this, and it's important to me. Let's minister to the Father, too. We just minister to you, Father. Thank you for being so good to us and protecting us and taking care of our families. And we just thank you, Father, for it today. Father, thank you for being so precious and good to us, keeping us safe last night on our trip home and being just so faithful to us, Father. And we just thank you, Father, for it. And we give you the praise. We give you all the glory for it. Thank you for providing for those that are listening. Somebody's really needing some things. Help them to get those things they need with no problem. In Jesus' name, physical things, spiritual things. Help everybody listening to get what they need, Father. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, let's get into this today in Jesus' name. Well, we're talking about doors of opportunity. This is a second message here. And like I said, this was inspired by some tapes that I was listening to way back when I started Rhema. I believe it's right. Yeah, it was the first year. And I'd actually gotten some audio tapes. My father has bought many audio series and messages, you know. Matter of fact, I inherited all that stuff that he has. I have a huge amount. I have a closet with a huge amount of books and audios and videos that I inherited from my father. And that was one of the things I wanted. When he passed away, you know, my brother and I could have anything we wanted, you know, his. My mother was so sweet to let us do that. And my brother wanted his golf clubs, you know. But I wanted all his audio cassettes and tapes and videos and DVDs and CDs that he had of ministers, you know, because I had been listening to those right when I got saved, and they ministered to me so much at the time. Wish I had my own library that I've been blessed with. I've been blessed with another library. When my wife's father passed away, I've been blessed with some books, and me and my wife keep those books as well, which he was right down the same lines. Her father is what I like as growing up spiritually, so it was very neat. He had Brother Hagin books and Norval Hayes books, my wife's father. And so I inherited, and I've got a massive library now. I got three big libraries all together of all these ministers' books and things that I enjoy tremendously. Of course, then I have lots of concordances and Bible study tools and all these great things that I inherited. Of course, and I have mine, but it's just interesting to have all those things. Of course, we have at the fingertips now. We can sit there and use the internet and do all kinds of studies. It's amazing what's at our fingertips today. But those audio cassettes were some my father had. You know, he would go to the Believers Convention, and he'd buy as many things he could to grow spiritually, you know. And one of those cassette series was called Seizing God's Opportunities by Jerry Seville. And thank God for that. I never forget, you know, that was one of the biggest things that ministered to me. And I started seizing opportunities right away when I started listening to those messages, you know. And it had such a profound effect on me. That's why I'd like to minister things about it to other people, because it's such a big deal that you're seizing opportunities that God gives you. You know, you don't want it to pass you by. You don't want life just to go by. You want to seize opportunities that are coming by us every day, you know, and it's important that you're looking. You right here today, you're getting an opportunity, listening to this message, you know, and seizing that opportunity. God's speaking to you right now, I'm sure, about certain things that he wants to do in your life. And are you seizing those opportunities? You know, what is he talking about? You starting? What's he talking to you about taking advantage of or jumping into, you know, or getting hooked up with this other ministry or certain ministries, you know? What are you doing, and what opportunities are you seizing today? And are you just letting them get by? It's important that you're not doing that. You should be seizing the opportunities that God has for you, stretching your faith out, reaching out, stepping out on your faith, and trusting God to use you in some major things. Well, let's look at our opening scriptures here. 1 Corinthians 16:9 says, "For a great door." Notice that he says it right away that he has a great door. He says, "And an effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." I like that. 1 Corinthians 16:9, the Amplified says, "Because a wide door of effectual services is open to me in Ephesus, and a very promising opportunity, and there are many adversaries." But notice that he keeps the focus on the good things. He's focused on hope. The first thing he mentions is the door, right? And we should be looking at the hopeful things first. You know, people look so much at the bad things first, and people minister today, if you're not careful, on the bad things. But we should be ministers of hope, people that look at the hope, looking at the doors of opportunities. You know, Paul had an opportunity to minister to certain people, and he went in there, was lots of conflict, you know, and he was so much conflict that he got stoned, left for dead, faced major adversity. But then he went right back in there to minister to those people. He learned that conflict wasn't a bad thing. The things that challenged him were not a bad thing. Matter of fact, those were the areas that he needed to go to. Those were the areas that he needed to focus on the most, you know. Conflict isn't always a bad thing, right? You know, Paul tells us that in 1 Corinthians 16:9, he says, "Because a wide door of effectual service is open to me in Ephesus, a very promising opportunity, and there are many adversaries." He knew that he was going to face conflict and challenges, you know, but he still didn't want to lose the opportunity, right? And so we're supposed to know that there's challenges that we face, and to know in advance that we're going to face some certain things, and those aren't the things that deter us, the conflicts and the challenges that we face. Those shouldn't be the things that deter us from reaching out for the promises that God has for us, you know? As soon as you start believing God for a healing right now, you know, don't be surprised if you face conflict, you know, because you're reaching for your hope and you're reaching for your dream, and the enemy wants you to get away from the word and get away from the promises of God, because he knows that you could get that dream and he knows that you could obtain your destiny and your future. He loves to get you off track, right? He'll discourage you. He'll distract you. You know, he likes to get you off track from the promises that God has for your life. Whatever it is today, you know, if you're facing conflict, you're probably going the right way, aren't you? That's what he's telling us here. 1 Corinthians 16:9, the message says, "A huge door of opportunity for good work has opened here. There is a mushrooming opposition." He's saying when he saw an opportunity, he had mushrooming opposition, right? You know, some people, they think, well, if everything's perfect and everything's just right, then everything, I must be on track with God. Well, that should make you wonder if you really are on track for God, or if you're really affecting the people, or if you're really ministering to people, if there's no challenge that you're facing, you know, that should make you wonder if you're really doing what God's asked you to do, if you don't face any challenges in this life, you know. Yeah, believe you me, if you're going to do what God has called you to do, or whatever he's asked you to do to fulfill a destiny, a purpose, a healing, you know, to get free in certain areas, you know, then you don't look at the circumstances, you know. You know, if you look at all the circumstances, you'll never get anything done, you know. Maybe listen to this message. How many things did you face just turning on this message today, you know? Because the devil didn't want you to hear this today, you know. Because he doesn't want you to get something that invests in your life. He doesn't want you to get something that will invest in your spirit and get you on the track of hope, right? If you're facing conflicts, you know you're probably going the right direction, right? You know, if you're facing challenges, you're probably going the right direction, because the enemy is trying to get you distracted and get you to go another place, right? We're all presented opportunities every day in our lives to grow in God, to have more success in our lives, some to help us to be more prosperous in God, some of us to help us with our dreams and opportunities God gives us for our vision. and to help us further, and those are the ones we don't want to miss, the ones that help us further the gospel to get people saved, right? And so it's not for the weak, right? It's not for the slow to move, and it's not for cowards. You have to be a person of action and a person that's willing to step out in faith. You know, the enemy just doesn't want you stepping out of faith in any way. You know, as soon as you step out, he'd love to get you discouraged, right? Where do we see this? You remember Peter, you know, getting out of the boat? Everything's safe when you're in the boat, you know. You're there with your friends. You can go get your perfect haircut at your perfect house, you know, and go get you everything's safe, you know. You're all good, you know. But when you step out of the boat, and you step out in faith to do something supernatural that God's calling you to do. Some of you today, you're listening, and he's asking you to do something. It's going to take some faith, and you're going to have to step out of the boat, right? And, you know, if you're looking at all the circumstances and all the things around you, you know, it may look impossible. Peter, I'm sure it looked impossible when he was stepping out of that boat. Oh, the water, I'm going to jump out there and I'm going to drown is what he's probably thinking. You know, you ever felt that way? Stepping out to do something God's called you to do, you're going to step out there and you're going to drown. But if God told you to do it, you're not going to drown, right? If God tells you to do it and you're focused on Jesus, remember Peter had that he could focus on Jesus, look at Jesus, told him to come. He didn't say go some other direction, he said come to me, you know, and he stepped out on faith and God carried him all the way, didn't he? And God loves faith, right? He loves it. Nothing else pleases him. We know that from Hebrews 11, says that without faith, it's what? Impossible to please him. Think about that today. So whatever faith adventure he's called you to do, or whatever faith adventure he's or put in your heart, you know, you're not going to please him till you do the things that he wants you to do. You say, well, I'm not hearing him like I should. Well, are you doing what he told you to do, right? That's what pleases him. He likes you to step out and use some faith. It shows you that you believe his word. You believe what he's saying to you. You remember Sarah and Abraham told them they're going to have a baby. And at some points they didn't act much like they're going to have a baby. You know, it didn't please him that Sarah's laughing, right? It didn't please him. But when they're on track with faith, it pleases him. You know, and when you're on track with faith, it pleases him. He wants you to believe it and act like it's true, everything he's asking you to do. Act like he's going to do what he said he's going to do, you know, and that pleases him, makes him happy. Don't you want to make God happy today? It makes him happy when you believe that he's going to do what he says he's going to do in your life, praise the Lord. So we're talking about seizing an opportunity, and we defined it for you like this. And opportunities are a favorable junction of circumstances, a chance for advancement or progress, right? What is it? A favorable juncture of circumstances, a chance of advancement or progress. You know, God doesn't like you to stay right where you are, right? He wants you to have progress. He likes fruit, doesn't he? So much scripture's about fruit. He wants you to be fruitful in your life. He wants you to use your talents. We know the Bible talks about our talents. And he wants you to use all the talents that he's given to you, you know, be fruitful with those talents that he's given to you. What has he given to you today that you can be fruitful in, you know? Can you write books? Can you do music? Are you good with starting a ministry or starting a church, starting a business? Are you good with taking care of kids and family? Are you good at what is he given to you? What gifts has he given to you? You know, some people are good with children's ministry, amazing with children's ministry. You know, they love kids, you know, and they just love to see them progress and help them to do good, you know, and get them going that right direction, you know. What are you good with, you know, and what opportunities has he given to you? You know, God's always given us opportunities. And, you know, before we get done with this message, I think that you'll even consider some that you've passed by, you know. But he's always given us opportunities to do great things for him, praise the Lord. It's a favorable junction of circumstances, a chance for an advancement or progress, or progression. Of course, seizing, we define that for you, to take possession by force or at all, or at will, to take possession or control of, as if by suddenly laying hold, to take hold of suddenly or forcibly, grasp, to grasp mentally. You know, what are you grasping mentally today? You know, mentally grasping that God's told you to. And when I say that, you know, it's, I kind of get a picture of it in my own mind, you know, but it's like you're saying, I'm not going to be distracted by anything, you know. It doesn't matter what's going on with my life, what's going on out there. You may have bills, you may have family things, you may have certain people not healthy around you, and maybe other people that are limiting God all the way around you, you know. But what are you holding on to mentally, you know, that God's called you to do? You're not going to surrender it over the circumstances, right? You know, you have to take hold of it mentally, you know. If you got to get up in the morning, if you're easily just, you get distracted and you quit going a direction, this isn't for you, you know, taking God's opportunities. You know, if you're going to take an opportunity, you're going to have to get up the next morning and work at it, the next day and work at it, you know, the next day working at it, you know. And we talked about Thomas, I believe, yeah, Thomas Edison, you know, inventing the light bulb, you know, and how many times he failed and how, and you know, and how he was successful, you know, but he had to get up every time and keep working on that light bulb, every mentally seizing it, not giving up on it, not quitting at it, you know, and he mentally wrapping yourself around what he's asked you to do. You know, he could have easily said, hey, after a million times, I'm not going to do this. You know, I'm tired of this. This is failing for me. But, you know, he didn't do that. And he did finally, after all the failures, have success. You know, you have to wrap yourself around it mentally, you know, or you're not going to be fulfill what God's called you to do. Matter of fact, that's interesting. My quote here that I have by Thomas Edison here, it says, opportunity is missed by most people because it comes with overalls and it looks like work. You like that? Opportunities are missed by most people because they come with overalls and look like work, you know? You know, my wife, she had an opportunity to go and to go to college, you know, and she had to work. She worked while she went to college, but God wanted her to go to college. Now you can see why now, because of things and how it's affected her life and what she does. But, you know, she had to mentally wrap herself around it, you know. I mean, she had to work on the side and she had to do this and she had to work on the side and she had to do this. And, you know, it would be easy to start it. It's easy to get middle way through it. But it's not easy to complete it, right? I went to Rhema. I'll never forget. There were two other people that went with me. You know, my father ended up going to Rhema about the same year I started. And then I had a friend that went to Rhema. And completing it is another thing. We went. There's 2 years that we had to go. And you faced challenges, you know. And the Lord blessed us and did some amazing things, amazing journey. I loved to go through the whole journey. Just amazing things happened, you know. But, you know, you got to focus. You know, you're getting the Word of God in you. You're trying to fulfill God's destiny, you know. You got to study. You got to read books, you know, and take tests. And you got to get up and keep going after it, you know, and not quitting and not giving up, you know. And all circumstances of life are going on around you. You know, you're trying to take care of your own family and take care of your, well, you know, you're developing a family, kids. But you have to mentally wrap yourself around what's important, you know. There's a statement, I was trying to think of the quote there. He says, well, you know, you need to think about what is most important, you know. And what's most important for you and your family is that God's number one, right? What's most important for you and your family is that you're as a head of your house or whoever you are in your house that have a great impact, that you're taking the house the right direction, right? You can go any direction, but your kids are going to go any direction too if you don't have a focus of which way that you're going, you know? And it's interesting, I left Rhema, went right into youth pastoring, you know, and I had to be there on Sundays, had to be there on Wednesdays, had to set up the chairs. I had to make sure we had everything going. You had to have a lesson, you know, you know, had to pick up the kids in the bus. We grew and we kept growing, and we had to drive the bus three times before I do a message, you know, and, you know, they have to set up the chairs when we get there and get everything going, you know, and then we'd come back and I'd get done. You may be tired after doing a message, you know, and talking to kids and throughout the whole thing. Then I had to take three more bus loads to take those kids home. You've got to mentally wrap yourself around whatever God's called you to do, you know. I remember, you know, starting a church, you know, I didn't know anything about it. You know, I had to learn how to develop a nonprofit organization, you know. I had to set up a ministry, you know, never done that before, you know. I had to set up licenses to make sure I could license, you know, the ministers in that organization, make sure it's affiliated with Rhema Bible Church. If I can do all that stuff, get it all going that direction and make sure I'm knowing how to take care of offerings. And that's just part of it. Then you got to make sure that you can minister to people on Sundays and talk with people and connect with people and care about people. You know, there's so much involved, but you've got to mentally wrap yourself around what I'm doing now. You know, I have to be here. You know, messages don't get done if I'm not here. Then you got to set up, make sure you set up the cameras, make sure you set up the computers, make sure that you're live, make sure the microphones are hot, make sure that you've got messages prepared. You know, you have to mentally wrap yourself around. That's not even mentioning my family life and what's going on the outside. You have to mentally wrap yourself around what you're called to do, you know. But if you're a person that's easy to just do anything and you're not a focused person and you're never going to do things for God, you know, you're never going to, you know, it's probably hard for you even to get there on Sundays and regularly to be a ministry to help people, you know, working in the church as a volunteer. If you're not focused, you have to be a person that's focused. I'm thinking about this thing all the time, how I can make it bigger and be a blessing to more people and get more people saved. I'm thinking about it all the time. I believe the Lord's coming soon. Do you believe that? You know, so you have to, if you really believe that, you're going to act like that's true, right? And you're going to minister to as many people as you possibly can. Proverbs 10:4, as you can, Proverbs 10:4 says it like this. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Notice he's saying for you to have something that prospers and something that does well, you have to be a steady person at it all the time. You know, we have people come to this ministry all the time, but I have to be steadily putting out the message, reaching it to as many people as I can. People want to hear about it. They love the message, but you got to get it out there, right? And you have to give it to as many people as you can regularly, you know? And it has to do with, it doesn't, nothing, if you're not consistent about it, is going to be a blessing to you. You know, farmers can tell you this, you know, they're not going to have crops regularly. If they don't go plant that crop or plant that seed over and over and make sure they get the food coming in to take care of their families and their resources, you know, somebody's got to use their hands. Somebody's got to be a person that's willing to work, you know. Or something, nothing's going to get done. It's easy to do nothing. But you've got to be a person that's going to reach out and have opportunity, you know, to reaching out for this harvest that God has for us right now is massive. He's coming soon. It's a big harvest. But you got to be a person that's willing to reach out and put the sickle in to get the harvest. Even getting the harvest, you got to use your faith, you know, reaching out to minister to people. Listen here, the Names of God Bible says it like this. Lazy hands bring poverty, but hardworking hands bring riches. Isn't that good? You know, if you're a lazy person, you're not going to have success in any area of your life, right? I'm not just talking about finances, which it does. It affects your finances tremendously, you know. But a lazy person does, you know, God could sit there and say, if you start this business, he's going to bring in one of your harvests. But if you don't ever start the business, you're not going to have the harvest that you're supposed to have, you know. You've got to put the sickle in, right? Maybe he's telling you to go do this or take advantage of this opportunity. Well, you know, if you don't take the opportunity, how are you going to get the harvest, you know? It's one thing to plant some things, but it's also to see it through. Maybe a person saying, hey, come over here and I'm going to bless you, you know, but if you don't ever go over there, how can God bless you, you know, taking advantage. It's easy to sleep in. It's easy not to do anything, but the things of God, you've got to be moving forward, you know, going forward, looking forward, having a focus forward for the things that he has for you. He didn't call us to live a life of laziness, right? Nor did he call us to put things off or procrastinate. You know, some of you he's been talking to for a long time about starting some things. And some of you he's been talking to you about doing certain things and you don't keep it up, you know, procrastination. Hey, listen, I'm guilty of it. I've done it. I don't know how many times, you know, but you know, you have to be faithful, you know, and you have to be about it all the time to get anything done for God, you know, as a pastor, as a youth pastor, and as a minister today, I have to be there every Sunday and Wednesday that I can be there. You know, think about that. You know, you have to be there. You know, people don't get ministered to if you're not there, you know, and if I say, well, I don't want to go to church, no one else is going to go to church, you know, you have to be there. You can't procrastinate and put it off. You know, maybe he's called you to do certain things, but you never showed up to start it, or you never showed up to make sure it's going, and you don't ever check on it, never look for the resources, look how to work on it, you know. You may even have it at your fingertips, you know, but you've got to be a person that puts it together and work on it, you know. I remember playing in a Christian band. I had to practice. We had practices. We'd go to churches and we'd have to practice, you know, and if we didn't practice, we couldn't put out the music, you know, we wouldn't sound good. We'd record those practices. I have audio recordings of some of that stuff. But, you know, if I didn't make it to a concert, there's not going to be no concert, you know. You have to show up, right? Maybe God's calling you today. He's saying, hey, you got to show up, you know. I didn't always feel like it, you know. I don't always feel like doing what I'm doing today, you know, but you got to show up, right? It's fun to get the blessings, but you got to show up, you know. Be a person that shows up for whatever it is God's asking you to do. Are you a person that shows up? Are you a person that's there? You know, can he count on you? You know, he's wanting you to show up to fulfill what he's called you to do. I mean, I knew I was called to minister, you know, and I'll never forget the Lord had asked me to do my first, one of my first messages, you know, and I had to show up. I got there and I thought, man, I'm going to go for a long time, you know, but then I didn't realize I'd get nervous, you know, but so there was a friend, I'll never forget, my father spoke one night, my friend was supposed to speak one night, and then I was supposed to speak in the city of Hugo, Oklahoma. And they ministered great. Both of them, they were just great. I mean, they were awesome. I was the second minister, you know. My dad, man, he went forever, you know. He's so excited about following God, and he just ministered. And man, people wanted to buy his audio tapes. It was so good, you know. I was like, man, if he can do that, surely I can do that. I hadn't gone to Rama yet. I hadn't, you know, learned even how to premiere a message yet. I just knew, hey, I was in hell, and now I'm saved, you know. That was my message, you know. And I got up there to minister, and I was so pumped up, you know. I'm like, oh, this is going to be good. You know, I'd listen to my pastor preach for long years, you know, and I'd rededicated my life to the Lord after a period of there of doing some things that I'd gotten off, you know. And I got up there to minister. I'm on fire at this point, you know. But then all of a sudden, my message, I was ministering, it probably went 5 minutes. I said everything I could think of within 5 minutes, you know. And, I got done. I'm like, man, nobody liked that, you know. Of course, I did an altar call, you know, right at the end. I'm like, man, nobody liked that message. They probably didn't care. It's basically about me being in hell and no longer. Now I'm with God, and I'm just having a relationship with him. That's what my message was, basically. And I'll never forget, I got done. I had an altar call. I thought, nobody would want to come to this altar. Why am I even having an altar call? I ministered for 5 minutes, you know. And I'll never forget. A guy came up to the front. I was shocked. You know, I was more stunned than he did that he came up front, you know. And he came up front, and they were like, wow, you know. And he got ministered to, and you know, from the Lord right then, you know. And I believe he got saved that night. It's been a long time ago, but I'm pretty sure he got saved that night. But what if I didn't show up, you know? My 5 minutes was important, you know. And whatever you have is important. Or someone else, you know. Of course, it causes you to get better the more you do it, but you got to show up, you know, and be a blessing to other people, you know. You know, I beat myself up about that message almost, you know, because the devil would love to just beat you up. He's like, you have any kind of progression, or you minister to anybody, he's going to beat you up like crazy, you know. You'll get done with whatever you do, and he'll critique you. And he'll make you feel bad about whatever you do. It doesn't matter if you do a song. It doesn't matter if you open the front door. You know, he'll try to beat you up, make you feel bad for what you do. But you've got to be a person that overcomes adversity, right? You know, because you're going to face adversity. As soon as you're done, the enemy wants to take that word from you, that dream from you, that vision from you, you know, but you've got to be a person. The scripture tells you this, you know, I'm not just telling you this to inflate the devil, or I'm not telling you this to exalt him in any way. I'm telling you this so you can be a person that overcomes adversity, right? No, you wouldn't believe the challenges that me and my wife face just youth pastoring. I mean, it would blow you away if we went into all the stories just to tell you all the things that we face just youth pastoring, you know? And I was teaching them about faith, you know? You know, and I got to the place at one point and we were picking up these kids, and the kids were, I'll never forget it, going down the road, and I saw one kid come into my service. He's carrying his Bible, walking to church. Think about it. He's so hungry. He's got his Bible and he's walking to church himself. You know, and people are affected. They want the word. They want to grow spiritually. And you have that opportunity today. What opportunities are you missing? Well, as far as the word's concerned and ministering to other people, what opportunities are you missing to advance your life? You know, maybe today he's giving you an opportunity to grow spiritually. Maybe he's giving you an opportunity to better yourself. Are you taking those opportunities today? Or are you just so focused on other stuff that you can't ever go forward? You know, that's the enemy's trap. He likes to get you focused on other stuff. It may be amusing, you know, maybe you're Netflixing a whole series right now. You know, you don't have time. You got to watch 20 movies on Netflix, you know. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with enjoying a good show. But is that your life, just watching shows? Or are you actually doing something to further impact the world, a generation that needs to be impacted today, that needs to be ministered to today? You know, you have to be a person that is not distracted, but can wrap themselves mentally around what God's asked them to do. You see, these people were they're focused. They need to be focused on their things. They're not procrastinating, but on the things that God's called you to do. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'll never forget, you know, I was going to a Bible study, you know, and when I first rededicated my life to the Lord, I was going to a Bible study, and we were meeting together, you know, it was wonderful, and just talking about the word, enjoying it, you know, and at one point it got to where somebody else would lead, you know, and we'd have this Bible study, but, you know, I'd been in bands before I rededicated my life to the Lord. I had music equipment, had guitars, you know, and maybe one guitar. I can't remember how many guitars I had at the time, but I had a lot of equipment and music gear because I was going to play in bands, you know. At one point, I was playing in three bands, you know. And I never forget, we got there, and I was like, let's take this Bible study outside and minister to other people. You know, it's great for us to be growing, but let's reach outside. Let's go out there and reach out to people. Well, we started going out. We took the opportunity. and we got T-shirts for it, too. We're soldiers for Jesus, you know. And they started booking all these different parks all around Oklahoma, you know. I'll never forget, we'd be in a different park every day, you know. And you know, you think about it, the experience was good for the people. It was good for us, though, to get outside the walls, talk about Jesus. Might be a full park, might be an empty park. But we're going to a different park, getting out, trying to reach outside of our four walls, just our Bible study, which is great to study the Bible. Nothing wrong with that. But how much more of an impact when you get out there and you minister to people and they see you come together and they see that people want to come together for God, you know, it's amazing. And we reached out to them, went down to different places, stepped out, even left the city, went out into the country, you know, ministering to people, you know, using an opportunity, you know. And sometimes there might be more people than normal. Sometimes there might be less than normal, but we're still stepping out, you know. You know, Jesus did that. Jesus would go to one person, and he might go to 1,000 people, you know. But he just went where the Holy Spirit leaded him, you know. And you have to be a person willing to step out of the four walls and taking the opportunity God has for you. Or are you always focused on yourself? Are you thinking about the things of God, right? And, you know, there's all kinds of stuff we can focus on ourselves, but we need to be focused on the things of God. He said, seek first the kingdom, right? Seek him first and seek the kingdom. Have you got your priorities set in line the way they need to be set? Or are you focused more on your priorities, you know, and what you're doing, you know? It's important that we're focused on his priorities and his interests, you know. If you get focused on God's interests, he's going to take care of your interests. If you're interested in getting people saved, he's going to be interested in what you're interested in. If you're focused on getting people baptized with the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking tongues, he's going to be interested in what you're interested in. If you're focused on people growing spiritually and getting as many people to heaven as you can, you know, he's going to be focused on what you're interested in. It's all about doing and putting him first. And he knew that. That's why he told you to seek him first. He wanted your interests to be met. He wanted your needs to be met, you know, by you focusing on the right things, you know. And it's important that you're focused on the things of God. Proverbs 21:25 says, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. Think about that. Slothful people, you're going to be lazy. You're going to be a person that doesn't have any actions. You're probably going to die. Then you're going to die unhappy. I mean, you're going to be just distressed. I mean, the amount of stress that you're causing other people, you might as well just go to heaven. You know, you need to be a person that's happy, and they see it on your face serving God, right? And having a faith adventure in your life. You know, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for the hands refuse to labor. You know, lazy people don't have joy. Lazy people don't have something they're looking forward to that they're pumped up about, you know, in this life. I love to teach. I enjoy it. I tell my son this and tell my wife that, you know, I get pumped about being right here with you today because I enjoy teaching the Word of God, you know. I get excited about it, you know, but if I'm lazy and I don't ever do anything with it, you know, then it's not going to reach anybody. It's not going to minister to anybody, you know, and you want to have some kind of impact with your life. What are you doing to reach other people, you know, and have an impact on their life? You know, I'd love to be perfect in all these areas. There's other areas I need to work on. We all have areas to work on and improve in, but you got to be a person that's focused on the kingdom, number one. Proverbs 21:25, it says, despite their desires, the lazy will come to ruin, for their hands refuse to work. Notice what it says, despite their desires. So they were desiring to do something good. You ever been like that? You desire it. I desire to have, you know, six, you know, I saw some ministers that have, you know, they have a six pack, you know, abs, you know, and they look sharp. I can't say that I'm like that. I've been in that case where I've been really good shape at times, and there's other times I haven't been in as good a shape. But, you know, the desire's good, but you have to work at it. You know, the desires, you have good desires. People have great desires, but those desires will do you nothing. It's just like faith. Faith will do you nothing if you don't act on it, right? And a good desire is a good thing, but you have to act on it, right? And for you to have success, for you to have something come out of it, you know, it's good to desire something. You can talk about it for years. I can talk about working out for years. I want to look perfect. I want to look great. But I have to be a person that gets up and wraps my mind around it, not distracted from it, and I'm focused on it for it to come to pass in my life. Now, I can sit here and make fun of other ministers because that's what they do, you know, or I can be a person that looking at them as an example, you know. You can sit there and make fun of how I do things and everything like that, but you can look at it as an example. And I would love to see you do even better than me, you know. And it's important that you're looking to do and strive to do the things of God the best that you possibly can. You know, you can learn from others that have tried it, and maybe you could do it even better. You know, but you have to take advantage of those opportunities, right? Abraham Lincoln said, I will learn one day, my opportunity will come. Think about that. He would prepare himself, get himself ready. He says, and one day, opportunity will come. You know, that's powerful coming from him, Abraham Lincoln. He was our second president here in America. You know, it's a powerful thing. He also said one time, he said, I love to read the Bible. He says, because every time I get it, I read it, I find something new. That's one of his quotes. He liked to read the Bible, but he liked it because he could get something new out of it. But he also said here, I will learn and one day my opportunity will come. Well, this is a person that failed many times. Over and over he failed. He ran for many offices, done many things. You know, you can look at that. If you Google it, you'll see all the failures that he had. It's just a massive amount of failures. He lost his job in 1832, defeated for state legislator in 1832, failed in business in 1833, elected to the state legislator in 1834. His girlfriend died in 1835, had a nervous breakdown in 1836. And I can go on and on. But he still reached his goal. Even all these adversity faced him. He never lost going after his dreams and his goals that he had in his heart. You know, how many things have been thrown at you and you overcome them with God's grace? You know, and he didn't look at just because he had adversity thrown at him that he should give up. He didn't look and say, well, this is the end. I can't do no more. No, he saw from the adversity and kept on going, you know, and Paul's the same way. You know, he saw the adversity was, hey, I'm going the right way, right? You know, and living his life as a Christian, you're giving him nuggets of information that are powerful, that could change people's lives. You know, one word today from this message could change your life and your track forever. I've had it happen. I know it happens, you know. And you have to decide, you know, you have an opportunity when you get this word that you're listening to today and he's giving you that opportunity. I can either take it or run with it and fulfill the destiny God has for my life, or I can be a person that just doesn't and you don't get those things of God in your life, you know. You know, we have those opportunities every day, all of our lives. You know, Moses did, David did, Abraham did. You know, you look at David. He had one of the greatest opportunities he had was fighting Goliath. You know, they told him the advantages of what's going to happen. You're going to get to marry the king's daughter if you can whoop this giant. You know, and how it's going to look for him if he beats this giant. You know, he was focused more on seeing through the giant, right, and the challenges that he faced. You know, if he beat the giant, you know, and that was the thing that made him king, right? That was the thing that really made him who he was that he could overcome adversity. Are you a person that can overcome adversity? Are you a person that can see through the challenges? Well, David took a small rock and took the challenge down with the grace of God, and it changed his life and the trajectory of where he was going forever because he was able to seize that opportunity, take that opportunity, and fulfill. You know, others were over in the crest. Some of they were hiding, but David stepped out and said, no, we're going forward. You know, and you look at Moses' life. He got up to the Red Sea and to cross the Red Sea. We talked about this last week. You know, these are the things that changed their lives. You know, they didn't go back. They kept going forward, you know, and it's easy for us to go backwards and to get focused on backwards, going backwards. Paul said, you know, I press on towards the mark, the prize, the high calling of Christ Jesus. And it's easy to look back. He said, but I forget the things that are behind me, but I press towards the mark for the call of Christ Jesus. Are you a person that sees forward and you're looking forward? Are you just caught up, always looking in the back mirror, getting yourself in forward wrecks because you can't quit looking at the past? It pulls you down. You can't go forward anymore, you know? You look at the wife of Lot, you know, and so when they left Sodom and Gomorrah, she was so focused on the back things and focused on looking backwards, and she couldn't look back. He were told not to look back, but she just kept looking back. And it is tempting to look back and get caught up in those things and remember the past victories and forget about all the great things that are happening now. What's God trying to do with you now? You know, what are the good things he's wanting you to focus on now? Or are you just, you can't focus on going forward? You're just caught up in going backwards, you know, and you can't even enjoy the moment because you're so caught up in the past. You got to be a person that lets that go and focuses on the moment and what you're going forward to. You know, if if you can't see yourself fulfilling a destiny, why are you even here? If you can't see forward, why are you even here? You're not progressing. You're not going forward. You're just stuck and you're existing. And you need to be a person that can see forward, get past through adversity, but a person that's reaching for your goals and your dreams. You know, you can enjoy this whole life if you're focused on your dream. You know, I don't know how many times I've been told, you know, after people retire, there's so many people that pass away just as soon as they retire because they're not focused on their dreams and their goals anymore. You know, they retire and pretty much they die pretty quick after they retire, maybe 1 or 2 years after they retire, so many people, because now they're not focused on their dreams. They don't have a reason to get up in the morning. They don't have a reason to go after something today. You know, and if you're not doing that, you need to stir that back up in you and God and spend some time in his grace and his power to be able to go forward to fulfill what God has for your life. He's given you opportunities to live a long life. He's given you opportunities to fulfill a destiny. He's given you opportunities to bring in this end time harvest. Think about that. You know, even when you go to heaven, there's things that you're going to be doing. You know, it's not a lazy place. No, there's things that we will be doing when we get there. You know, and we need to be doing that now. We need to be about the master's business now. Amen. Amen. I think I've already won an hour. So we're going to go ahead and pray. Father, we just thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you, Father, for your mercy. And Father, we ask that you help us, Father, to be looking at opportunities, overcoming with your grace, with your power, not trying to do it in ourselves, but with you, Father. And Father, we just ask for it in Jesus' name. And we just thank you, Father, for it in advance, Father, that we're coming through. We're getting more focused. We ask for us to be more focused in seizing those dreams and those goals and those opportunities that you have for our lives. And Father, we just ask for it in Jesus' name. And we give you the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe you don't know Jesus today and you'd like to know Jesus. Hey, you got an opportunity right now. You know, I'm going to pray with you and you have an opportunity to know Jesus right now. The Bible says, if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe God's risen Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. Did you want to be saved today? Well, you got to focus on him and you have to confess him as Lord of your life. So let's go ahead and pray right now. Pray with me if you'd like to be saved. Believe he's risen from the dead and confess Jesus as Lord. Release your faith right now with me. Let's pray this together. Father, I believe you've risen Jesus from the dead. And Father, I confess Jesus as Lord of my life right now. Jesus, be Lord of my life right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you pray that prayer, I believe God's done a work in your life. And we'd love to hear about it. Email us at Jeremiah S. Ministries. We'd love to hear about it, me and Sheila and Liam. And if you would, send it to us at the email there. We'd love to hear about it. Of course, you know, you can put it in the comments if you're watching live right now on Podbeam. You can put that in the comments. We'd love to hear about it. We love you. God bless you. I'll take a few minutes to look at the comments and see what people are saying. If you'd like to, you can let us know. We'd love to see that. God bless you. I look forward to spending more time with you. Try to be back with you on Wednesday. God bless you. You have a wonderful, wonderful day. If you'd like to contact us for a prayer, praise reports, or offerings, go to JeremiahSmithMinistries.podbeam.com. Thank you for listening.